Beloved congregation, in this time of the year, we have the custom to give gifts to one another. We do that in our families. We have gift exchanges. The text we speak about this evening is also about a gift. It speaks about a good gift and a gift that comes down from heaven. It speaks about a gift that is never withdrawn or changed. We are today commemorating the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. God gave His Son to this world. This was God's gift to mankind. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And so on this Christmas day, we want to reflect on James 1, verse 17, and the words of our text, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." So we meditate on God's gift in His Son. And this gift is good, it is heavenly, it is permanent. God's gift in His Son. And this gift is good, it is heavenly, it is permanent. So the text speaks about every good gift and every perfect gift. So this text does not speak about one gift, but about more gifts. Every gift, every good gift, every perfect gift. So what are the gifts that James is referring to here? In the immediate setting, James is referring to, or at least speaking about, temptations. He is saying that temptations do not come from God. God Himself cannot be tempted to do evil, and neither does He tempt anyone to do evil. So temptations do not come from God. But there are in life certain trials a person goes through, and the Lord can lead these trials in our lives. And they can be very good. If the Lord leads certain trials in our life, the Lord has His purpose for that, to purge us, to purify us, to cause us to live by faith and not by feeling. And so trials, when they come from God, will ultimately work out for our best will. They are good. But we can think about other gifts. Every good gift, every perfect gift. Well, we can think immediately about God's goodness displayed in nature. He gives good gifts in the sense that the Lord gives fertility to the soil. A new harvest has been brought in. The Lord grants undeserved good blessings to people. And that's why we just sang Psalter 444, that's Psalm 103. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thou thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." The Lord gives blessed and good gifts to sinful people. The Lord has been doing that throughout the history of mankind. But if we look further at this phrase, every good gift and every perfect gift, what does Scripture mean? when it refers to this? Well, then you may remember what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? So here the Lord Jesus refers to good things that God gives to those who ask him. And what are those good things? What is it that the Lord Jesus is referring to? We see that, the answer to that question, in the parallel text in Luke 11, verse 13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So these good things, says, are the Holy Spirit. He is perfectly good. He is given by God. The Holy Spirit awakens men's hearts and gives influences upon men's hearts and leads them to seek the Lord and to do the will of the Lord. And therefore all enlightening and quickening dealings of the Holy Spirit, they come from God. The Holy Spirit is God's perfect gift. But what else can be perfect? Well, Scripture speaks about being born from above, being born of the Holy Spirit, and that refers to regeneration. We read about that in John 3, you know that. That speaks about the fact that you must be born from above, born from the Holy Ghost. That's regeneration. That's a good gift. That's a perfect gift. It gives new life. It refreshes a sinner, renews him. And so there is an initial change from death to life, from darkness to light, and the gift of regeneration is perfect. It's perfect. It comes from the Lord. And now a child of God will still be hampered by sins. Here on earth, he still goes through the struggle of faith. And he still experiences the power of the old man working in him. He has to contend with indwelling sin. That can be a heavy struggle. He falls short in many things. One who is born again, born from above. But regeneration in itself, what the Lord works, is good. But that child of God is not yet perfect. But the perfection will come. That regeneration will work through finally. It will keep on working, daily renewing until the moment will come when that person no more sins. When he leaves this life, he reaches perfection in heavenly glory. And that's all a result of God's perfect gift. The gift of regeneration. And connected to that, you can think about justification. That the Lord removes the punishment of sin, washes the sins, and that the Lord God places the righteousness of his Son upon a sinner. That's a justification. That's perfect. It's a perfect justification. It's a good gift, a perfect gift coming from heaven. And connected to that is glorification. Glorification. His people will be glorified in heaven. It's perfect. It's God's perfect gift, another good gift that the Lord works. But if we look further at this phrase, every good gift and every perfect gift, what can we think about more? If we look at Scripture, Well, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And there, God's word is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, his coming into this world. That's God's unspeakable gift. We cannot put that into words. The depths of Christ, the glories of Christ, the benefits of the Lord Jesus, the blessings he affords, cannot be put into human words. The salvation he will pour out upon his people in glory cannot be uttered in a human tongue. The Lord Jesus Christ is God's unspeakable gift. We cannot fathom what salvation actually means. And that the Lord Jesus came into this world, we cannot fathom that either. He is perfect man. There's only one man who lived on the face of this earth who was perfect. That was Jesus Christ. He could say, "Who convinces me of sin?" He was perfectly just, perfectly sinless. Nothing could be brought against the Lord Jesus. He is the perfect Lamb of God. No blemish. He always obeyed his Father. He is God's good gift, God's perfect gift. And today on Christmas Day, we consider the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. And so we especially may focus upon this gift. Undoubtedly, you did this morning. And now again we may do that. The coming of the Lord Jesus into this world, that his blood is sufficient for the sins of the whole world, and that he has come to save his people from their sins and from their miseries. And in this perfect gift, God proves his love, that while we were yet sinners, while we were yet rebels, while we did not ask for him, while we did not come to him, he came to us in his Son. That's God's perfect gift. And that should lead us to adoration and to devotion. We could have given that in paradise. We could have given the Lord adoration and devotion in paradise. But we chose not to do that. We chose to rebel against God in paradise. We wanted to be as God. That's how proud we were. We didn't give anything to God. He gave everything to us. A world, paradise, his nearness, and we rebelled. Not just Adam and Eve, you and I. And then, what did God do? He gave. He gave a gift. The promise of his gift that his Son would come as the Savior. And that's a miracle we cannot understand. Here we see that God is good and that the gift of his Son is very good. Yes, this perfect gift is good, but it's also heavenly. Because the text says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Because good gifts, they come from God. The Holy Spirit comes from God. Daily blessings come from God. Regeneration comes from God, and His beloved Son also comes from God. The Lord Jesus Christ is God's heavenly gift. God sent His Son into this world, and God told His Son that this would involve suffering. We imagine God the Father speaking to His Son, "Son, the time has come. Will you go?" And the Son said, "Father, I will go." And the Father said, "It will cost you suffering. You will be despised and rejected of men. You will have to bear my anger upon a sinner poured out upon you. In this way, I will be glorified." And the Son said, "Lo, in the scroll of the book it's written of me, I will come to do thy will." And He came. Imagine if God would ask you to undergo a very difficult way of suffering, of deprivation, of great distress, and that way somehow would be glorifying to God, and He would ask you to go that way, what would you say? A way of deep suffering, deprivation, misery. And in that way, God would be glorified. What would you say? The Lord Jesus said, "I come to do thy will. I will go." And so the Son of God came into this world under suffering. And that's why He was born in a manger. No room for Him at the inn. No room for Him in this world. And no one expected Him. There were some people in Jerusalem. They were expecting and waiting for the consolation of Israel. And Joseph and Mary knew that He would come. And Zechariah and Elizabeth. But that's probably all. When the shepherds went around proclaiming the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and that Israel's Messiah had come and they were glowing with joy, the people wondered. That's all they did. They didn't go and check it out. They wondered. And when the wise men came to Jerusalem, whole Jerusalem was in turmoil. But no one went to Bethlehem. It was all suffering. And then to be raised in their Nazareth, in dusty, the backwaters of the country, that a godly man said, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" And that's where the Lord Jesus stayed, lived, grew up, illiterate people, people of little understanding. And there He grew up for 30 years. And when finally His ministry started, He was rejected. Oh, they liked the miracles. But they didn't like His preaching. And the Lord Jesus says in John 6, "You come to Me not because you've seen signs, but because you have eaten of the loaves." They were thrilled. They wanted to force Him to become their king. And then the Lord Jesus preach to them. And they didn't like it. They left Him. Finally, His disciples left Him. And He went into suffering. Because that's how His coming was in this world. Suffering. And all along his aim was to glorify his Father. And on the night before his crucifixion, he prayed, "Father, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." And the Lord did that work perfectly, because he himself is perfect. He is God's perfect gift, and his works are perfect. His words are perfect. He came from the Father of lights. That's a beautiful name, the Father of light. Because God is light. He creates light. He first created light before he created the sun and the moon and the stars. He spoke, "Let there be light." And there was light. And the Lord Jesus Christ came as the light of the world. And he said to the people, "If you've seen me, you've seen my Father." Light. He came from the Father of lights. And therefore light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. And David says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" And there are many who say, "Who shall show us any good?" And then God's children respond by saying, "Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us." Because God is the Father of lights, from whom this beautiful gift originated. He sent his Son into the darkness of our life. We all lost the way. We all went our own way in life. But then God sends his Son to show us the way, the truth, and the life. And so we see light shining there in Bethlehem, where the Lord Jesus was born. A bright light shone there. There was a light on top of that hovel where they were. The wise men saw it with great joy, the star, and they followed the star. It stood above the place where they had to be. There was light. But maybe Mary and Joseph didn't even notice that star. Maybe they were so poor they didn't even have a light in that cave or stable, wherever they were. Maybe they were in somewhat darkness. But there was still light there. That whole manger was full of light, although Joseph and Mary didn't see any light. But this was the light of the world coming into the darkness of our existence. Because we all lost the way. We all went our way in life. But then God sends his Son to show us the way. A light to lighten the Gentiles. And the glory of thy people Israel. This light shone all around the shepherds. Light without a shadow. The heavenly sky filled with light. Because God is the Father of light. And those angels with the light, they came also as a good and perfect gift from the Father of lights. And so Christmas is the celebration of God's perfect light coming down into this world, coming from the Father of lights. And this light has come this evening to you, to me. It has come. That's why it's a glorious light. It's a blessed light. It's a joyful day. It's a joyful celebration, Christmas. And that's why that heavenly declaration to us is, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." We don't deserve anything. But the Lord comes to us. Well, we deserve nothing. There's life there's light, there's salvation for you and me. And what is the proclamation here to us? Well, we see here the light of the world shining among us through the preaching of God's word. This light is shining amongst us. Do you see it? Maybe you don't see it. Maybe your eyes are shut and closed that you don't see this light, because you don't want to see this light. Then you are like someone who puts a candle underneath his bed and there's no light to be seen. Or you put a cover over a candlestick. There's no light. But if we reject this light, if we ignore this light, then we are worthy to be cast away, trodden underfoot, because we despise God's perfect, good gift. What do you do with this gift of Christmas? He is the only one who can deliver you from the gloomy perspective you and I can have. There should be joy. Joy. Christmas is the celebration of joy. But that joy will be present in the way of repentance, in the way of recognizing that He came into our misery, He came into our poverty, He came to deliver us from sin, and therefore He must be our Lord and Master. We need to learn to love Him and to trust Him, that He would be our righteousness, our payment for sin. It's so blessed to confess that you are in darkness and that you need His light. It's so good to confess that you are from below and earthly, but the Lord Jesus comes from above. He is heavenly. He is God's unspeakable gift. You need Him. Your life must be laid down before Him. Just like the shepherds, they bowed before that child. And the wise men, when they came, they gave their gifts and they worshiped this child. And that's also our calling. We need to have a personal meeting with Christ, that we lay our sinful attitudes and our sins before the Lord, and beg that our heart would be opened, and we beg Him to shine with His light in our hearts and lives. That's what happens when you start to see God's unspeakable gift. Then there will be delight in us because of God's delight. Christ Jesus is God's delight coming from the Father of lights. And therefore, when you've seen that light, remember the shepherds, what did they do? They spoke to others about that light. And when you've seen that light in your life, and you know that you were in darkness, but that light came and shone abroad in your heart and life, you also are called to speak well of this blessed salvation. Speak of the heavenly origin of the Lord Jesus. It's so good when other people can sense that you have looked in the manger, and that therefore you are filled with great joy, just as the shepherds were filled with great joy. How necessary that our hearts are filled with love and with joy. That our hearts will be filled with light. We need that. And therefore, try not to grumble and try not to be gloomy and to complain. You and I, we so easily can complain about things in life, but we should learn to speak positively about the joy that came with God's unspeakable gift. We should try not to be annoyed about things of life, but we should try to have our focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and to show that you have seen the Lord Jesus in the manger, that He has come to your heart to display joy, hope, because we don't have to be bogged down in gloom. We don't have to be bogged down with depressing thoughts, because He has come, God's unspeakable gift. And let therefore be joy in our homes. Let us read to our little children of the gifts and wonders of God's grace. Let there be joy in our hearts as we contemplate that miracle of Christ. And let there be delight because of God's perfect gift. And this gift, congregation, is also permanent. It's not only good, it's not only heavenly, but it's permanent. That's beautiful. God's gifts are not removed. He never forsakes the works of His hands. For we read, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You see, when God gives a good gift, He does not retract that. When the Lord gives His Holy Spirit, that will be an abiding blessing. When God gives regeneration, God does not withdraw that. God never forsakes His works. And also when the Lord gives His Son the gift, that gift remains. For the Lord is just. He is righteous. He does not retract. He does not give and then withdraw. What the Lord gives is a perfect good gift that remains. The Lord Jesus is just as powerful now as He was in the days of His ministry on earth. Because God is no variableness, no change, no shadow of turning. And likewise the Lord Jesus has no variableness, no shadow of turning. He continually prays for His people that their faith will not cease. And once the Lord Jesus has been given to His people, He remains with His people all the days. For He said, lo, I am with you all the days. This gift remains. And once He has started in your life a good work, He will continue that work. That's not something to rest upon and to lay over backward. Now it's all fine, because that shows you do not know the Lord Jesus. Because when the Lord Jesus works in your heart, there will be a need. He uncovers you to your need. You become poor and helpless and needy, and you need Him. And that continues lifelong. You're continually faced with a wall, and you continually need Him in all the various aspects of life and circumstances in which you are in. You need Him, and that's how the Lord leads His people. You are uncovered to your own poverty, to your guilt, to your corruption. And that's why you need Him every day again. And what a blessed truth that He abides. There's no variableness, no shadow of turning. Not only there's no turning, but not even a shadow of turning. He is faithful. He's faithful. There's so much in Scripture explaining God's faithfulness. The Lord God is faithful to His creation, even to nature. Genesis 8:22, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. That's God's faithfulness. He was faithful to Abraham. In spite of Abraham's sins, He never forsook Abraham. He is faithful. There's no shadow of turning with the Lord. He was faithful to the people of Israel in Egypt. He is faithful to His promises that the Son would come into our world. And that's why you, child of God, are who you are now, because of God's faithfulness. Because He leads you into fellowship with His Son. And so God preserves His people. He has promised that His people will be with Him in glory, and that the Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven preparing a home for them in the house of His Father with its many mansions. He has promised that, and there's no variableness with Him. He is faithful. Faithful to the end. The blessings of God are permanent. The blessings of salvation, of grace, of loving kindness. God has given His Son. And because the Lord Jesus is permanent, therefore His care is permanent. His merits are permanent. His salvation is permanent. And that's because the Lord Jesus is far above all. He is in full control of everything. And at the same time, He is imminent, close to His people. And you see that all as you look into the manger. But don't be distracted now by the fact that you see an infant here, a baby. For here you see God's unspeakable gift. There you see His permanent gift. And that's because of His great power that He will exhibit to save sinners. He is already working righteousness while He's there in the manger. And as a toddler, He is already going to work righteousness throughout His youth, throughout His life. There's no variableness with Him. It's permanent. Think of who He is. He is above all His people. All the fullness of this, as the fullness of the sea surpasses the fullness of your pond in your backyard, so the Lord Jesus is above all. He is the head of all power and principality. He plants His church wherever He desires to do that. He is far above every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world which is to come. He is exalted above all the kings and all the tyrants of this earth. He's the second person in the Trinity. He became man, and even as a man, you see the brightness of His Father's glory. Just as you see the beams of the glory of the sun shining. Christ is more excellent than all creatures together. He rules over all. And at Christmas you see Him as a child in the manger. But He rules over all. And this Savior will have all His enemies as His footstool, like Joshua once placed His foot upon the necks of the kings of Canaan. So the Lord Jesus will trample upon all the princes of darkness. And the Lord Jesus has power to forgive sin. Death and hell are laid under him, and that's permanent. He has now a name above every name that's permanent, and he is able to save to the uttermost. It's so good to reflect upon the permanent character of this good gift that the Lord has given. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is all powerful to pluck sinners out of the mouth of the raging lion, the devil, and those whom God has chosen to everlasting life, they will receive life everlasting, and they will be permanently with him. And that's all contained in the coming of Christ into this world. And so then you see horizons opening up, and you look into the future of God's permanent salvation, his permanent presence, to be forever with him in glory. That's because there's no shadow of turning with him. He is the rock that never sinks. And when you build your house on that rock, your soul will never sink. He is the captain of our salvation. His arm is never shortened. And consider the love of Christ. It's abiding. It's permanent. The Lord loves you, child of God, with an everlasting, immutable love. It's permanent. You may experience his love for you, maybe sometime in the past, that he was close to you. And you may not experience his love now, but his love is still the same. He loves to see those who humbly bow before him. He embraces them as the father embraced the prodigal son, or as a bridegroom will embrace his sorrowful bride. See him binding up the broken hearts of men and showing singular tenderness and compassion. He looked upon that widow of Nain with compassion. And he's looking at you with compassion. He looked on the multitudes of Israel with compassion. He's looking on you this evening with compassion. Do you sense that? Do you believe that? That he's calling you to come to him. He knows how to embrace you in your sorrow, in your loneliness, in your grief, in your worries, in your struggles, in your distress. He knows how to deliver. He is the same. Because there's no shadow of turning with him. The shepherds were joyful. The wise men were joyful. And his people may still be joyful because of this glorious deliverance. They are called to rejoice. And again I say rejoice. Yes, that's rejoicing in the Lord, in who he is, what he has done, and what he still shall do. And therefore, how miserable you may be, how corrupt you may be, confessing your corruption to this Lord, you may rejoice in who God is, in his unspeakable mercy, in his grand power and ability to save. He gives rest. He gives peace. He leads through afflictions. His grace is permanent because He is permanent. And so we need to be filled with Christ. Just as the rich man in the parable had filled his barns with wheat, but we are called to fill our lives with Christ. We need Him above everything. Haman wanted to fill himself with worldly honor, but let the Christian fill himself with the graces of the Spirit. How can you do that? You can't just take hold of those graces. No, but you can humble yourself by the light of God's Spirit. And you can search the Scriptures. They testify of Him. You can call upon His name. For the Father is willing to give good gifts, His Holy Spirit, to those who ask Him. Oh, that fullness of Christ, it's permanent. It's always the same. He will never forsake. And so you may say, Jehovah is my light and my salvation near.